Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. If you are new and you are watching brand new, never seen us before, if you are watching and you aren't subscribed, please, please subscribe. We're so close now to a monster figure of 8,000 subscribers, which is huge. So take us over the line. If you do enjoy this content, drop this video a like. I'd like if you could all like the video anyway. That just helps push it further onto YouTube. And drop your comments, drop your thoughts, everything that we discuss, anything you want to discuss or talk about. The comment section goes off like a forum. You all comment, you all interact with each other, which is absolutely brilliant. And it's nice to see. So I feel like I've been hit by an absolute double-decker bus since Saturday. I haven't recovered in my mind. It's been a tough one. It's been a tough few days thinking about it, thinking where we go. There's been a lot of chat. I was on BBC WM and I was giving my thoughts to the performance, Gerrard, Mings and everything like that. And on the show, one of my closing statements was, let's set that performance as a marker that we cannot get anywhere near that level of performance again this season. As you all know, your regular viewers, you know we're a really, really positive, optimistic podcast. So I'm going to try and be as positive as we possibly can and move on to the Everton game. I feel like we need to just get that to one side now and focus wholeheartedly on Everton, get the result we need, get the performance we need, and get back to winning ways. So, Ryan, you've got to be buzzing now, going back to B6, surely.
I don't know. I'm finding it hard to motivate myself. If we want a bit of positivity, let's say we're a point behind Liverpool and only 3 points off the top. So, you know, we're still in the mix. But, yeah, I am finding it a bit difficult to motivate myself. I'm sure come Thursday, Friday, I'll be buzzing for it, getting back down that whole end. But we shouldn't have to look forward to a reaction. Do you know what I mean? We wanted to put all that to bed last season. We shouldn't be thinking, you know what, can't wait to get down Villa Park. We're going to put it right. Enough of that, man. It's you know, we should be maintaining a standard performance, a standard of style, a standard of organisation, a standard of fight and hunger. They should just be our standards. And it was all missing. You know, it was so bad, wasn't it, Saturday, on every level, in every department. It was comical. It was a joke, really. And, initially, I was gutted because I couldn't watch the game because I had tickets to the boxing Commonwealth that landed like 2:30 to 4:30. And then I was following it on my phone. I thought, oh my God, this is dreadful. Then I was looking at Twitter after the game and the fallout on there and the reaction on there was something I've never seen before. But we just didn't learn from that Watford. In fact, it was worse than that Watford. You know, we had a couple of goals at the end of that game to really lift us. But let's hope history will repeat itself again and we go and smash Everton just like we did last season.
Yeah, like you say, everything was lacking. It just simply just was not good enough, was it? It was just that bad. And you know, me and Justin, we did our match reaction, which went down an absolute treat. I mean, if anyone thinks that I'm like 24/7 on here, think again. But I don't know. I was just fuming after that game, you know, because, you know, I love the Villa. I want us to achieve the most we could possibly achieve, you know. And that performance just absolutely stunk the place out. And I was lost for words at times because I just didn't know what I was watching. But hopefully, you know, everybody, the coaches, Gerrard, the players, they've all sat down, re-watched it, watched what went wrong, watched what needs to be improved, because there is a good squad there. And I think that is the frustrating part about it. We've seen a good centre-back come in. We've seen the CDM come in. But for whatever happened at Bournemouth, it just fell apart. Do you want to add anything, Justin?
There's not a lot more to add, is there? Like you say, the reaction we did you know, they're not nice to record when you've lost. And I think we were brutally honest. You know, we are positive, but we're realistic. And you can't lie, can you? Because everybody that watched that game or saw the highlights or, you know, anything to do with that game will know that it was massively not acceptable. It just wasn't from every level. The players that went out didn't do it. The subs that came on didn't change the game. Were the tactics right? Was the team selection right? You can analyse it till you're blue in the face, and ultimately everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. You know, conceding after 2 minutes is a disaster in any game, really. But the first game of the season away to the newly promoted team that you know that's got a bit of momentum behind them, albeit they were in a bit of strife with players and injuries, gave them that much needed pep that they needed to get through at least the first half. But we were pretty inept, you know, never really laid a glove on them, and then came out and tried to have a go second half. But again, nothing seemed to work at all. People just weren't good. The form was terrible. Nobody had an impact on the game. Nobody went searching to try and drag us back into it. And then perfect time to get a second, 10 minutes before the end, kills the game, doesn't it? Bitterly, bitterly disappointed. But like with all football, there's always the next game around the corner to put it right. So I think all that's been said has been said now about that game, and it's time to draw a line under it. You know, there is going to be fallout still from it, and there's going to be lots of written and verbal media going on throughout this game, and there's going to be an agenda up to this game with what's been said about a few players and the manager. But ultimately, it's their job now to put it right and put a performance in on Saturday, and that's what we've got to look to now. We can't do anything about the last game, but we can affect the next one. So let's hope we can get something out of this one.
Definitely. And I've wrote here, what do we want to see? And I'm just going to put something on the screen now. And I should have actually worded, what don't I want to see going into the Everton game? So I'm just going to share the screen now. So here is Bournemouth's average position for the game on Saturday. And as you can see, formation-wise, it's actually as you would literally put it on a piece of paper, isn't it? You know, you've got sort of like the five at the back, the two central midfielders, the two just behind the striker. Now, we all thought that bringing in Boubacar Kamara was going to be the absolute answer to Aston Villa's midfield, which I still think it will be. But I don't think Gerrard set the team out to look anything like this. And I think what has got to happen is there's got to be more communication on the football pitch and them talking to each other and realising where they should be on this pitch. So you can see you've got your two centre-backs here. Boubacar Kamara feels inside, sits inside when we are in possession, makes it sort of like a three at the back there. But for me, what we started to see last season with the games where we were struggling was the position of your two full-backs too high at times, which means that midfield, this space here, it just ends up being all over the show. You've got Ramsey took off at half-time. His positioning should really be around here. Bailey looking more like a winger. Coutinho and Danny Ings, we've got no focal point. So I just think if you looked at the two, and I know Bournemouth were behind the ball for a lot of parts of that game, but this shape here, I just think it was all wrong. Justin, what are you saying?
Yeah, I think if you go back to the Bournemouth, that's it. I think the reason why that looks literally like a team selection is because of that early goal. I genuinely believe that. They had the early goal, so then basically it was a matter of, it was the manager just screaming at them, shape, keep your shape, keep your shape. They've got to break us down now. It gave them that foothold in the game. It allowed them to literally just try and soak pressure up, and by everybody staying in position and just, you know, gently going backwards and forwards, left and right, and put staying in positions and picking people up. That's what created that basically perfect team selection for them, isn't it? And then you look at ours again. I'm not a massive fan of our centre, our 2 8s having to cover for our wing backs. Well, they're not wing backs, are they? They're full backs that get forward. We saw it a lot last season with McGinn, you know, basically picking the ball up at the left back slot and pinging long ball forwards. And it looks like Ramsey was almost doing that for the first half, at the very least, on Saturday. And for me, it's a recipe for disaster because you can't get hold of the game if your midfielders, like you say, if they're not centre midfield and getting hold of the ball and dictating play, and they're constantly playing basically left back and right back. Who's in the middle of midfield? I mean, there you go. who's in the middle of midfield there? You got your fullbacks getting forward. You got, I presume that's Luca Dean up by the Sky side at the top. Is it? Or is that in there? Yeah. And then you got Matty Cash pushing forwards. So obviously, you've got Kamara picking up a decent position in front of your two centre halves. But then you've got literally an acre of space with six Bournemouth players. So you've either got to be Pele or Ronaldinho to thread an absolutely amazing through ball through, or you've got to run past five or six players, and it becomes a game of percentages then, doesn't it? Rather than controlling the game and moving forward, you've got to hope for a lot of talk was about the amount of crosses we stuck in the box, you know, with nothing on the end of it. And that's what happens if you're just aimlessly going left and you're throwing people forward and throwing balls into the box. For me, the centre midfield is still the biggest issue for us. I don't think he picked the right players there. I went with Douglas Luiz. Ramsey, I don't think he's quite, I don't know, he just hasn't, he ended last season not poorly, but not as good as he started it. And it seems that sort of carried on Saturday. He didn't have enough to get hold of the game. And until we sort these little problems out, then we're going to have a problem in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I just think that three in the middle, and I said on the match reaction that I felt like we're playing in stages. There's no cohesion. There's no cohesion from the fullbacks, what they're trying to do. There's no cohesion in the middle with whoever the three are. You've got your Bailey and your Coutinho just not in unison, not working together, not making a combination work. And then you've got Danny Ings that's sort of just drifting deeper and deeper, or drifting out wide, that's not staying as a focal striker in this team. So I think there's a lot to work on, but I think looking at it, I think it's obvious on sort of things that do need work on. And I think I've got another image here of, you know, this cross that went into their striker. There was just no urgency on anyone that was sort of, hold on, where are we going with it? There was just no urgency with anyone closing down this player. And that's what I felt we lacked as well. We just lacked that little bit of, like, know-how and that bit of aggression. I just think those are a few little pointers that I've sort of looked at and thought of since Saturday. And I thought
How's Konsa even got himself in that position? Do you know what I mean? That just shows how dragged out of place we were, and his half-hearted attempt to close him down was really poor, wasn't it? And then everyone's just bloody watching in the box as your man's put that header in. But I just feel like we need a passer in that midfield three. We need a dictator, and I feel like Luiz could be the man for that, because we are looking at going down the whiffs. And once it goes down one side, that's it. It's dead. They work it in the little triangles down the side, and then the cross comes in. Ings end in there. You know, the ball's going to the front post when the players are at the back post. It just, there's no link up. There's no spreading the play. You know, we can't come back inside and then go to the right side and come back again. It's like the middle is a no zone. It's like we're going up the sides and that's it. And once you've gone up that one side, that's it. You've got to try and work it up there. We just need that dictator now. There's someone that can just relieve that pressure, have the ball in the middle, find Coutinho, find Bailey central. Do you know what I mean? And then have Luca Dean and Cash as your backups there. So, yeah, definitely time and time again last season, when this system broke down, it was because of the middle three. You know, whether it was the fullbacks bombing on and then playing as false fullbacks, McGinn and Ramsey. It just, when that three don't work, the whole system don't work, and the cohesion's just gone. It's just disappeared. So it is something that we just need to get right, that middle three.
It looks, it as well, I know it always looks worse when you get a poor result, because you can pick holes in all of it, can't you? But that sort of formation, it just looks disjointed. When it's poor, it looks awful, because you've got fullbacks bombing on too far forward. You've got two centre halves having to cover the whole back line. You've got your two eights having to cover your wingers, your fullbacks. You've got the sort of defensive midfielder trying to help your defence, your two centre halves out. You've got two, what essentially I suppose should be wingers, but one of them's a centre midfield, attacking centre midfield, and the other one's an out and out sort of winger forward. And then one centre forward who basically likes to drop off. So it just all went wrong, doesn't it? You know, Coutinho doesn't like to hug the left touchline like Jack used to. Bailey likes to cut inside on his left. So it all goes wrong, you know. And then you fall, like you said, Ron, your fullback should just be supplementary attackers. They shouldn't be your main attackers, should they? You've got three forwards there and two eights. That realistically, that's where your attackers are. That's where you should be looking for most of your goals from, shouldn't it? Your two eights, your two essentially tens, but wingers, and your centre forward. That's where you should be winning games. Those players. When you basically relying on your fullbacks to be two of your main attackers, then the rest are covering them. So keep your defenders to defend. And if one can get forward and help, great. But don't make them the focal point of all the attacks. I don't know. I mean, are we back to the old 2 10s, 1 9, 2 9s, 1 10 again? I don't know.
The number nine has got to start being the number nine, though. Yes. That's the image you put up there, Luke, and he's so close to Coutinho. Yeah. You've got to be the number nine. You've got to be leading that line. You've got to be central to everything. Look, Danny Ings, his best form has always been in the pairing. You know, that's when he's had his most success. He's never really led the line anywhere he's gone. He's always been paired up, and that's where he got his success. Now, Ollie Watkins, yeah, he could probably do it, probably stretch him all a bit more. So, yeah, it's a big call on how he addresses that as well for the next game.
It's a great point about that number nine. Now, it's going to sound a daft analogy, but when we played at Villa Park for the Up the Villa podcast, we had one centre forward. Now, I played there all my life, and I always know that if I didn't play, or whoever played that role, regardless of what level football you're playing at, if you're playing one centre forward, they have to play literally on the toes of the two centre halves. Otherwise, if you haven't got one centre forward that's literally right up on the back of the line, then nobody's up there, are they? So you can't. Everybody else is just so deep then. And you look at, I mean, that says it all, Luke, on that picture, that Villa average positions. Danny Ings is practically playing next to Coutinho the whole game.
Yeah.
Is it any wonder then he had nothing going forward?
What do you want Coutinho to do with that ball when he gets it?
Turn around, he's got Danny Ings standing next to him.
Yeah, and the only other option is knock it back out to Luke Dean, who'll just whip a crossing. And it's, you know, we've got to get a bit more creative with the crossing as well. We've got no height in the team to be pinging these balls in. You know, you've got a low ball, try and work the triangles into the box, which we was doing at the start of Gerrard's era, you know, the United goals and stuff like that when Ramsey scored. We were working it then. And you could see exactly what they were doing. Ramsey and Coutinho were linking up brilliant, but it just seems... We've had a mare, haven't we?
But when this works, it works brilliantly. And we've seen some great performances. I went to Leeds away and we destroyed them. It was brilliant. But when it doesn't work, it looks terrible.
So, like I said, can't get no worse, right? So let's move on to Everton. And let's move on to our Everton stats here at the start. So we know it's always a shocker. They're always terrible. But we've got some good ones. Yeah, Aston Villa's head-to-head record against Everton in the Premier League reads as follows. Aston Villa wins 22, losses 13, draws 19, right? Home wins 14, and we've won we're unbeaten in the last six. So we've been playing pretty decent against Everton. As of late, they've just signed Connor Cody on loan. They've just signed, I think I'm going to pronounce it right, Onana. Onana.
It's a Rihanna song, isn't it, mate?
Onana, what's your name?
Right, so, Yerimina limped off and Godfrey went off on a stretcher. So we're not going to talk about the defence because Bournemouth didn't have one. And we ended up losing 2-0. So I'm just going to share with you the Everton team which started the game against Chelsea. So it was Pickford, Patterson, Godfrey, Mina, Tarkowski, Milakovic, Dwight McNeil, Decore, Iwobi, Damari Gray and Gordon up front. We are pretty decent against teams that play five at the back. I mean, Bournemouth played five at the back, so that one's gone out the window. So it does look like there might be a little bit of change in defence for Everton. I really like Gordon. I think he had a great season. Yeah. He did well for the under-21s as well. But I do expect a performance from Villa. I do expect a very big reaction. And I know you were laughing about the reaction, Ryan, but Villa Park won't allow that performance on Saturday. No. Villa Park will not allow any performance that slightly mirrors that one. So hopefully they are going to be fired up, bang at it, and really up for the game. Because, you know, first home game of the season, I normally get really, really excited, and I'm excited to go and see all of my mates and the people that I sit with that you've not seen for sort of like, you know, two months, three months or whatever. So it's a 12:30 kickoff, which again is really annoying. But I just think we've got to bring it, haven't we? We've got to show our quality, and we've just got to have had a real good training session this week, haven't we? We've got to be bang at it. Show our quality. I expect there'll be a few changes, which we'll get onto on the predicted lineup episode. But Justin, what are you looking to see?
Positivity. I, it's very hard to say this, and it's very hard to do it. But I'd love all the fans to turn up with no preconceived ideas about what's going to happen. That's very hard after what we witnessed last week. There is a bit of negativity. We can't lie floating around. Which is a shame after one game, with the first home game of the season. It brings such joy, doesn't it, to be back at Villa Park, that walk, the first walk up to the ground, and when you come out, walking out, you see the pitch again for the first time, and the players come out, and that, you know, I just want positivity from everyone. I think the pre-match spiel from the manager will be positive. I think he'll say they've had a good reaction in the week. He'll say all the right things. I just want the fans to turn up and make it a real atmosphere. I remember the first game back. I know it was a night game, which helps massively when we played Everton and we beat them when we got promoted. Something like that would be lovely. But it all comes down to the performance on the pitch. If you want to get that, you know, we need a very good first 10, 15 minutes, a positive start to the game. It'd be lovely to get the first goal in the first 10, 15 minutes. That'll set the tone for the fans and the players. It'll take all the edge off the game as well. We can all relax a little bit and then go on and positively win the game, you know, keep hold of the ball, play some nice football, create some chances, try and put the game to bed if we possibly can so we don't have a panicky last few minutes. I just want positiveness. I want positive from everybody. And if fans can just try and go and be positive from the start, which there will be. I think there'll be enough people going there trying to get the atmosphere in a positive frame of mind. There's always going to be the odd negative people that just seem to want to be like that, which is their prerogative, I suppose. But I think if the majority can out-sing the sort of minority, you know, but it's down to performance, isn't it? We want to see a good start, good first 10, 15, couple of nice crunching tackles, some nice football, couple of chances, and let's try and get an early one in the right net this time.
And to be fair, I mean, it's, you know, whatever, Bournemouth was bad, but it is only one game. Do you know what I mean? There's 37 more games to go, you know, so I think we could still have a good season and everything like that. But Ryan, we'll have a beer before the game, won't we?
Of course we will, mate. Of course we will. It's been a couple of months, so yeah. We'll be swigging them back in the hot end, won't we, mate? But I'm sure when the time comes around to it, we're going to be buzzing. You know, that pre-match build-up, always my favourite. That anticipation, the air of optimism. So just so, you know, it's a sellout Villa crowd. Expectations have gone up. Prices have gone up. So it's time to deliver now. It really is. And the Villa Park crowd has always sort of been dictated by the performance. So hopefully we can just get in there straight away, get some crashing tackles in, get the crowd going. Like you say, if you can grab an early goal, that would just set the tone magnificently. And like you say, we've had Everton in our pocket, haven't we, since we've come back up. So hopefully that run can continue. They seem to be lacking in the final third at the minute. Don't know. They've lost Dominic Calvert-Lewin to injury. They've lost Richarlison. They haven't replaced him yet. So really, you know what I mean? We should be looking to dominate this game. Iwobi, central midfield. No, if our midfield three can't compete against Alex Iwobi, who's playing central mid, is he normally left wing up front?
So
surely we should be looking to dominate in there. So Everton, I ain't even going to say they look there for the taking, but they look a bit disjointed. But like, they give a good performance, didn't they, at Goodison? I don't think too many of the fans were upset because they had a real good go. They battled, they stuck to their shape, So it will be a tough game, but I am backing us to get going, get some points on the board, get some goals, and hopefully just kickstart the season. We put this bit of a mare of a week behind us. And like you said at the start, Luke, yeah, that is the standard never to reach again. Do you know what I mean? Because, it's been an awful few days.
Whisper it quietly. It's been a good day for the Villa women with Rachel Daly signing, who was the England left back. I think that's a real, real good signing. I'm looking forward to going and watching them this season, taking my daughter. So she's loving football at the minute. So we've been over the park kicking the ball about. She's absolutely loved it. We went to a bit of table tennis. So she's been loving her sport. So I'll be watching those play. So that's really good. I think that'll do us now. Do you know what I mean? We've got another episode which will be coming out on Thursday, our predicted lineup. Thank you, everybody, who went on and did the predicted lineups on the website, because we had that many come through on Twitter. You all sort of loved the concept. It was great seeing all of your teams. So continue doing that. The player rater has never had so many bashings of zero. So thank you all for doing that as well. The figures were really good for that as well. So, yeah, I'm glad you was enjoying the website. The podcast had a really good week last week. So thank you, everyone that's been watching. And we've got some good content coming out this week. We've got our predicted lineup. Fan cams will be back on Saturday. If anyone wants to join us, normally we're sitting around the stage outside the McGregor statue. Come and say hi or come on the fan cam. It's welcome for anyone. And then we'll have match reaction and our player rater coming out over the weekend as well. Score predictions before I forget. I think we'll do a reaction. I'm going 2-1 Villa. And I think I'm sticking with Watkins. I'm sticking with Watkins to get two. I think Watkins is going to start. Ryan?
I am going to go 1-0, 1-0. And it will be a repeat of last season, a Bailey smasher. Hopefully just don't bust his foot up again.
Right, we'll put Justin on mute and we'll see you there. What are you going for?
I had a mare last week, obviously. I wanted far too positive, even for me. I'm gonna still be positive because I really hope we can get the season going with a win this week. So I'm going to go 2-0. I was going to say 1-0, but Ryan said 1-0. So I'm going to say we're going to get an early one and then we're going to nail it late on in the game. A Douglas Luiz goal, there you go.
Love it. Right, thank you for watching. Hopefully we've uplifted it a little bit. Drop your thoughts in the comment section down below and we'll see you all soon. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.